for the second half of the show.
We have a gentleman.
And I won't mention his name because you always accuse me of just being too succinct.
You get right to the the intro.
So I'll let you introduce Mr. Paul Hines.
That's it. I'm taking your plaque back.
I haven't gotten it yet. We got to pay extra for the duplicate plaques.
That's right.
Come on, Terry Williams. There you go. Front the money for two.
Anyway, this gentleman is a certified financial planner. He's been in the field for 30 years doing that, but his real passion is elder abuse and how to prevent and address that countywide and beyond, I assume.
And we've talked about that on this show when Bob Brewer was running against Bonnie DeManis.
That is correct.
Paul Greenwood down in the office in San Diego as well.
So anyway, we'd like to welcome to our show and to our microphones, Paul Hines. Right? Did I get that name right?
You got the name right.
Yeah, you got it right.
Paul, before we talk about preventing elder abuse and why that's so important, can you give us a little bit about your background, your history? I know you're a Cavalier, but beyond that, I don't know very much.
Like born and raised where?
No, he's University of Virginia, so he's a Cavalier.
Well, I know, but born and raised where?
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Richard. Thanks for having me. So I was born in the Boston area.
Aha. See, Richard,
and escaped.
Virginia.
Yeah, that's a connection with you, Joe.
Escaped the Boston area to go to college. Spent 4 years in beautiful Charlottesville, Virginia at the University of Virginia. The Cavaliers, otherwise known as the Wahoos.
Now, how'd they get the Wahoos? I never heard of that one. Are they called the Wahoos, really?
Yeah. Supposedly it has to do with the fish can drink like twice its size in water.
And so can the students.
Yes.
And it's not just water, but anyway.
As the story goes. And then my wife and I moved here to San Diego in 1983. Uh-huh. And we raised two children here, two native Californians. And we live in the Carmel Valley area, just next door to Del Mar.
You're just in time for the Padres going to the pennant. That was a crazy
year. It was a great experience. Yeah.
So there you go. So
professionally, you're the CEO of Hearthstone Wealth Management, correct?
That's right. It's a firm I started on my own 8 years ago after spending 22 years in a large Wall Street investment firm. Mm-hmm.
Ah, so you worked in Wall Street for a while then, right?
With a large Wall Street firm.
Gotcha. But you were a psychology major. Interesting transition. So you went from psychology to the financial field. How did that happen?
Well, funny that you asked that because investor behavior is actually quite a big part of investment success. Mm-hmm. So I think psychology is a good background.
Yeah, and the market behavior is psychology.
Right? Exactly.
Herd mentality, good or bad.
And we can't control the market. That's so all we can control is the way we react to it.
Huh, interesting. Have there been any good books on the psychology aspect of the financial? That's an interesting.
There's quite a few books out now. Investment behavior is a big field of study.
Huh. There's probably majors in this now. Right?
Investor behavior.
Most people tend to be too short-term, don't they?
I think if you just extend your vision a little bit longer and consider that you're investing for your lifetime, then you behave a little bit differently.
Sure.
Well, everyone knows if you gave Warren Buffett $10,000 in around 1965, you'd have $50 million today, approximately, plus or minus, right? That's pretty good.
Something like that. But Paul, this topic of prevention of elder abuse, how did you get interested in this, or why are you so passionate about this topic before we talk about some specifics about how to prevent? Why is this important to you?
Well, there's two real important reasons. One is we do deal with the elderly. Many of our clients are older. So we look out for ways that we can protect them from all kinds of risk, whether it's tax risks, investment risks, and this type of crime is really another risk that we want to help protect them from. Because if they're going to live a long life, then they need their resources to help mm-hmm. take care of them or to leave a legacy, then we want to make sure that we're protecting them from all the risks that we can.
Now, what compelled you to get into this aspect?
I mean, for example, have you had personal experience?
Yeah, and the second main reason is it happened to my family. Mm. My father was taken advantage of in one of the scams, one of the more common scams out there called the lottery scam.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
And it was quite a horrible experience for us as a family because you just can't imagine how terrible it is when you're telling your dad that it's a scam and my siblings are telling him it's a scam and the police are telling him it's a scam. And he's believing a person he's never met on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, and you're actually a wealth advisor to boot.
Right. And
it's like when I tell my mom to prepay her real estate taxes. She's like, well, I think I'll go ask my hairdresser. You're just a CPA.
Yeah. I thought it was really ironic and really sad that I was teaching others how to identify and prevent, and it was happening right on my
own. Is your dad local, or is he not that close to you?
He's in the East Coast near Boston.
Okay, so because I know that's one of the challenges frequently with elder abuse is when the parents and the kids and the when people aren't together.
Right,
I suspect it increases the probability of something happening.
Wasn't that film Nebraska that had that scam going on? It was kind of a black comedy, but it was actually kind of funny.
There was a version of that.
Yeah.
But one thing I learned from this is how powerful and how really crafty and good the scam artists are, because they can really draw someone in and get them fully invested in the fact that they 100% believe they're going to get these winnings, and they just have to keep sending money and keep sending whatever, keep sending goods and overseas.
Well,
to get,
you know,
get
there's charlatans winnings out there, like, even in the penny stock field. I mean, gosh, they've shut down all kinds of boiler operations, right? And you know, the police fund, you know, raising money for the fireman's ball and all this stuff. It right. goes on.
If all that talent was just used for good, just think how much better the world would be.
Exactly. So how did your father stop that behavior? I mean, did you guys have to intervene? I mean, I'm just curious.
We really
it's too
had
personal,
to,
don't
we had to intervene. Okay. We had to have the police come over more than once.
Okay.
And at the very last moment, he was on the phone trying to make sure that something he had sent had arrived at his location. I guess they told him this is the last thing you have to send, and then we're going to send you the winnings, or whatever they said, whatever lie they were telling at that moment. And a police officer came in and just told him to hang up the phone.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And I think he finally got it.
Did they ever catch the guys, or are they overseas?
Unfortunately, they're not on U.S. soil.
Gosh.
And they can be sitting anywhere in the world and use any phone number from anywhere in the world, and can say I'm in any place that they want to say that they're from.
That's right. Actually, you can trick your phone now into saying it's even, you can make it look like it's coming from a local number. Right.
Right. And he was sending most of the money to Ireland, but that doesn't mean that's where they were, because they can just have the money rerouted.
Just wired. And, yeah. Right. Exactly.
Unbelievable.
So it's quite a large business. And we know that we estimate about $3 billion is lost here in the United States to scams of this nature. And I'm sure that understates the actual figure.
Okay. Does your father live by himself, or is your mom still?
He does live by himself. Okay. My mom unfortunately passed away about 30 years ago.
Okay. So he's by himself.
Yeah, but he still has his mental faculties. You think it only happens to people that have dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Richard, you'll be happy to know he's a former accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing for sure, he kept very detailed records.
Detailed records. Well, the only good news is you get an ordinary loss. It's the old Madoff loss.
So he,
provision
he was,
that was put in the tax code.
He was a CPA, or
he was actually a management accountant for AT&T for 39 years.
Oh wow!
But it's still sharp as a tack, and this was just something that he got caught up in and really believed in it.
But I saw one factor that you met in your paperwork that you sent us ahead of time, that over half of the adults over 85 will have some form of dementia in their
lifetime. Some form of dementia. Maybe Alzheimer's, but there's lots of other types of dementia. There's one that's very hard to detect called frontal lobe dementia, which affects your decision-making. But
there's delusional disorder.
It's not a delusional disorder.
Yeah, but I mean, that's out there. Delusional disorder.
Sure.
I hear of elder women thinking they're being recorded by the FBI and all these things.
I think that a lot too. So that may be true. but seriously, Paul, I know you
maybe you have a reason. They don't.
Yeah, maybe you have a reason. But Paul, seriously, you've got some great tips that I want to do after the break. But leading into the break, I know your organization. You might want to mention that briefly. And I know I looked at three really neat video clips of about 30 seconds that are up on the website.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. We have three TV spots that we produced, and the goal is to educate the elders themselves and the people who care about them about possible situations that might involve financial abuse or scams. And we think that if we can help them understand that the scam is occurring, they could stop it before it gets too far. Because one thing we know for sure is once the money is gone, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's wired overseas, you can't get it back. If it's to someone here in the United States, they might be using it for drugs or something like that. It's impossible almost to recover. So the three TV spots are on our website, endfinancialabuse.org.
Mm-hmm.
Please show them to anybody you care about, elder or not, and hopefully that will help educate them so they can prevent it before it happens.
And then maybe we can talk when we come back about some of the investigations and maybe some success stories that are going on.
Well, I have a lot of things I want to talk about. Caregivers. Yeah. I have a lot of things I want to talk about.
But we have to take a break right now. We'll come right back after these announcements. Stay tuned. All right. We love that Bonanza.
We're riding back into the studio.
Used to be on Sunday night, but what the heck? It's Saturday night. Music's still good. And we're back with Paul Hines.
We used to be on Sunday night, too.
That's right. We're back with our guest, Paul Hines, who's talking about elder abuse. And where would you like to go, Richard?
Well, Paul, I know your effort is very collaborative. Could you talk about how collaborative it is? Because it's really amazingly collaborative.
Yes. Thank you, Richard. We formed an alliance, and it's called the Alliance to End Financial Elder Abuse. And there are some very dedicated and passionate people involved. And I'd like to mention who they are. Ron Greenwald, who is a realtor. Eloise Feinstein, an estate planning attorney.
Sure, I know Eloise.
Frank Fiorito, he's a professional fiduciary. And his son, Brian Fiorito, also works with Frank. Darren Schwartz, and Darren's one of the key people at the Jewish Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. And me. And the six of us got together and we decided we don't want to see anybody else in San Diego suffer from financial elder abuse. And we're going to do everything we can. And we started with those three 30-second spots. And they are running on the television right now as we speak.
Are there any events that you'd like to mention that that have in the past or in the future?
We have in the past been sponsoring speaking events to educate people. And if anyone is interested in having us come speak to your organization, we'd be happy to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys gotten into assisted living homes to do?
We have.
You know, good.
We've been going around the county to the retirement communities and speaking to people there. One thing we did notice is that it's a very distasteful subject and not very uplifting, so people don't like to talk about it.
Well, it's the shame. You know, it's almost like.
I've done amended income tax returns for a couple of folks who've been scammed who didn't, their CPAs didn't know they could take a Madoff ordinary loss, and so they just took a capital loss, which is of no use whatsoever. And they're almost embarrassed to even admit that they did what they did.
They got defrauded.
Because of the shame or embarrassment. Yeah, right. And of course, you know, to the extent you can get an ordinary loss, at least maybe the government's paying for 30 or 40% of it, you know, instead of having this useless capital loss carry forward, which is not the technically correct presentation. But yeah, people get to the point where they don't even want anybody to know, which is understandable. But if the government's going to help.
But let's see if there's some success stories or some. I mean, in San Diego, you've probably broken up a few rings or stopped some of this here and saved some people.
The San Diego County District Attorney's Office has a very deep bench of people prosecuting these crimes, and they're very successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they have mentioned as a challenge sometimes is the key witness is the elder.
Mm-hmm.
And if the key witness has some form of dementia, sometimes they can't be a witness. Or if they're unwilling, sometimes the perpetrator of these scams sometimes is a family member. So they want to protect their family member.
Mm.
And last but not least, sadly, some of the times the key witness is no longer with us.
Mm. So
it's very difficult, but they do prosecute thousands of cases every year, and they're very successful in putting some of these people away.
Yeah, I know people think about it, it's usually money, but many older people own a lot of valuable things like artwork and jewelry and so on, but in many cases, I know they haven't really documented or taken photographs.
Well, you just have to watch, you guys watch that show American Greed? I mean, there's cases like this that come up frequently on there where they're...
Yeah, it's very sad, but often someone who has access to the home, either a caregiver or even a housekeeper or house cleaner, mm-hmm. just helps themselves or a member of the family, just helps themselves to the family jewels,
mm-hmm.
and the jewels walk out the door, and often it's not discovered. So it is important to keep an inventory of your jewelry.
Huh.
Yeah, I know another key issue is caregivers. I don't mean to sound negative towards caregivers because they do great work working in very difficult situations, working with people who are older, who have health problems, physical problems, and so on. But I know in many cases when family isn't present or in somebody's life on a frequent basis, it's not unusual for the caregiver, for example, to wind up as being the beneficiary in the living trust. Or some other odd result.
Do they typically go after the widows or widowers who are, you know, obviously if one of the spouses is passed on, then someone's probably pretty lonely and the phone rings and they're taken in a lot more easily. I think
if you're alone, you're probably a little bit more vulnerable. You don't have someone to bounce things off of, talk about the issues.
Plus you become attached to the people you spend time with.
You do. And whoever has that power... can wield that power for good or for bad.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a good idea because Meals on Wheels, they deliver meals to obviously elders who are living alone, but maybe you can get some of your paperwork or to
maybe
deliver
we can
with
put
the
together
meals.
A flyer and get that out to them. That's a great idea, Joe. Thank you. Yeah.
It's one good thing I thought.
I know another challenge that I've seen with older folks is they tend not to be very high tech, so they're not using text and email and so on. There tends to be a lot of paper sitting around in many cases in their rooms, in their house, which I've always felt that paper is probably the least secure form of transmitting information and data that exists because you're not using passwords or anything else.
Well, they could be vulnerable because they've left information out. And a caregiver or someone could pick that up and use that to access their accounts.
I remember getting the email from an alleged friend or relative. I'm stranded in, you know, London and wire me this, right?
I mean, you know, I get about one of those every 3 months.
That's affectionately called the grandma scam, because mm-hmm. typically they'll call and say grandma or grandpa, mm-hmm. whoever yeah. answers the phone, and the first thing out of their mouth is that you,
Billy?
Johnny,
yeah.
Billy,
yeah.
and then
Richard?
They're off and running.
Is that you, Richard?
Well, I get them by email. It's from friends, and you know I'm trapped in Scotland, and right. I got mugged, and my wallet got stolen, and please send money.
You know, I just tell them I'm falling down and I can't get up. Sorry, I can't help.
One of the more recent scams that's very prevalent is they call it the IRS scam, because someone calls and mm-hmm. claims that they're an IRS agent. Mm-hmm. What the people on the end of the phone don't know is that the IRS never calls. They always write. They always send letters, but
they also never email ever. So if you get an email,
but they tell you that you're in big trouble and you're going to lose income, or you're going to lose your assets, and if you don't make the payment. And a lot of people are intimidated by that sense of authority, especially the elder generation. They've been very respectful of authority.
Or you get an email with an actual bank logo, like Chase or somebody, and I don't even bank there, and they're telling me, you know, click here because you have to update your information
yeah.
or something.
There's
a
lot of phishing scams going on out there.
Unreal. And I can imagine, you know, elderly people, they're not wary of these things, so...
And then there are people going door-to-door saying, we'll fix your roof. You know, we're in the neighborhood. We just finished one of your neighbors. We'll fix your roof. And God. They'll take the check, and either the work will be shoddy or it won't be done at all. So they take advantage of them from that regard.
And what
well.
Should somebody do in that situation? Should they ask for the person's license, for example?
I think they should get as much information as possible, get their identification, get their card.
Yeah.
Ask them to come back, and in the meantime, check on them.
Yeah.
Do your trust but verify.
Due diligence, right?
Do your homework, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, gosh.
So I know, Paul, a lot of elderly people don't really have a lot of credit because their homes are paid off or they don't really use credit cards. Should they nevertheless do credit searches on themselves every so often to make
sure?
Well,
I think in terms of identity theft, that's always a good idea. And when you mentioned credit, it made me think of another potential issue with seniors in particular who own their home free and clear, the reverse mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
There could be people out there encourage them to take money out of their house, tap into their equity, and then use it to make a phony investment or to do other things with it that would not be in their best interest. So,
and I think the reverse mortgage market isn't well understood. I think in some cases it's actually a really good product, particularly for somebody with health issues who wants to stay in their home. But you're right. In many cases, I think people use other reasons to try to induce somebody
right.
to do one.
Especially if the elder knows what they're doing and they know why they're doing it, mm-hmm. it can be useful. But in some other cases, it could be used against them.
Right, exactly.
Why don't we just give the 10 tips, just the headlines alone?
Yeah, we sort of, Paul, why don't you just read them? But I think we covered some of them, but let's make sure we got them all covered.
Like the I'll read them.
Yeah, read them. If we already talked about it, yeah, we can just go to the next one.
So for folks, you got to pay attention here. Choose a caregiver with caution.
We sort of talked about that.
Keep an inventory of all jewelry.
Yeah, and it should be all things of any value in the home. I know many seniors own things like baseball card collections, artwork, and so on. So it's not just jewelry.
And there are professionals that will do that for you. You don't mm-hmm. have to do it on your own.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then here's one we didn't get into, but every home should have
a
shredder.
Absolutely.
You have a shredder. All your mail, because they'll go into your trash and get your information that way, right? So you got to be careful.
And if you don't have a shredder and have a lot of information, some organizations like Goodwill will come to your house.
And I know a lot of assisted living homes have shredders, like in the lobby and so on, in the business room in the back.
That's a new thing. So yeah. Protect your incoming and outgoing mail, which dovetails on that. And then,
use a locked mailbox somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Ah, there you go. Well, we have the check washing scam, though. People will steal checks and change those around. So obtain a credit search on yourself, Richard just mentioned, at least 2 or 3 times a year. That may be a little excessive, don't you think? At least once, though, I would say.
Once or twice.
Yeah. Every telephone should have caller ID fitted.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Even though the scammers can sometimes get around that using phony phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'm never going to win the Canadian lottery?
I'm sorry to
darn.
Say. And one thing, if you ever are told that you have to send money to get money, it's always a scam.
Yeah, and never, ever give anybody even the last 4 digits of your Social Security number over the phone. Or the entire thing, obviously, unless...
And your date of birth is another
And your date of birth.
Let's run through the last one. We're running out of time here. So consider allowing your bank to send a duplicate copy of your monthly statement to a trusted family member or professional advisor. Consider that. Don't assume that the friendly handyman is in fact licensed, which we just talked about
that.
And then always have a second line of defense at your front door, because they'll try to get in, right?
Have a locked screen door or something like that.
So a lot of people don't even think of that. But
if people want to keep up with the latest thinking in this line, there's a great website called agingparents.com.
Mm.
And you can subscribe to their newsletter and has fantastic information.
And then there's an 800 hotline, too, isn't it? 800.
Now, this is a real challenge because people are living so long, too.
I think it's 800-510-something. I saw it somewhere.
Adult.
But we'll put it up on our website.
Yeah, we'll put it up on our website.
So iYMoney, make sure you get over to iYMoney.com. We'll have it on there. But we have to.
Paul Hines, really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you
so
much.
Thanks for being so patient for the first half of the show.
Our pleasure.